This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, The Science of Love. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. When people are in unhealthy or unbalanced relationships, we often use a term to describe them, codependent.
They don't know where they end and others begin.
They tend to lose sight of their own thoughts and feelings. And they end up doing a lot of caretaking.
Your partner is your everything, your best friend, the only person you can talk to, your entire system.
Codependents believe if they're loved, then they're lovable.
I'm always adapting myself. I'm always modifying myself like a chameleon.
Codependency is not an official mental health condition. It's not in the big diagnostic handbook, the DSM. But still, relationship therapists use it all the time. Best-selling self-help books have been written about it. There are 12-step support groups for codependency. What does it really mean? Steph Yin decided to investigate, and for Steph, this is personal.
I fall hard into relationships. I'm all in. I'm a caretaker, a people pleaser, and I hate conflict. I've had sleepless nights tending to the other person's feelings. I've fallen behind on work and school, determined to fix my partner's life problems. And I've taken on someone else's interests, opinions, and friends, wearing them like a suit. After breaking up, I'd have to go through a process of stripping down and rediscovering my own preferences. Over the years, relationships have come and gone, but friends, partners, and therapists have continued to tell me that I struggle with codependency. Still, I never felt I had a super firm grasp on what that meant, where it came from, and what I could do about it. So I did some digging. The concept of codependency emerged in the 40s and 50s. Therapists were trying to understand how families and entrenched relationship dynamics shaped people's mental health, particularly around addiction. Darlene Lancer, a marriage and family therapist in California, who wrote Codependency for Dummies, says codependency is often instilled early on. Here's one idea of it.
Codependents are alienated from their true self through wounding that occurs in childhood.
Children come to believe that their value comes not from within, but from how others see them.
Your focus is like outside of you. So it's something external to you rather than being aware and attending to your inner loneliness and emptiness or sadness or anger or whatever the feelings might be, and being able to comfort yourself and meet your needs and ask for what you want.
This can happen many ways. For instance, with children of people who struggle with substance abuse, mental health conditions, or chronic illness, early on, children learn that their value is in being a caretaker or in keeping things together. Also, children with parents or guardians who are emotionally absent or rigid and controlling. A father doesn't like that his son cries a lot and likes to write poetry. That kid learns to suppress his feelings, to hide parts of himself, to be accepted.
And then as an adult, you can't identify your feelings. And then the gap between who you really are, I call your true self, and what you show the world, it gets wider and wider.
So in the beginning, codependency is actually a survival skill. But over time, it becomes a problem. And by adulthood, the programming can be lodged deep in, particularly when it's a response to trauma. You might have heard of fight, flight, and freeze as automatic responses to trauma. Some theorists have added a fourth F, fawn, extreme people-pleasing or submission, as a way to ease stressful situations. But not everyone agrees with describing codependency just in terms of pathology. Some say codependency has a lot to do with the cultural conditioning we receive. For instance, think about how we portray romantic love. We're told love is about finding that soulmate who completes you in every way.
Romantic love has almost been turned into this thing where your partner is expected to meet all of your needs.
That's Joy Harden Bradford, a therapist in Georgia.
When really that's impossible, like no one person can be everything for someone else.
Joy says this messaging is all over pop culture, in movies. Take Twilight, for instance.
Your scent, it's like a drug to me. Like my own personal brand of heroin.
Or A Star is Born.
And whatever you want is okay. whatever I want, but I want to be with you.
I know. I just want you to be happy.
People swooned over these films. They were presented as a romantic ideal, but both featured very toxic codependent relationships. Also, music. A codependency playlist might contain songs like,
I'd still do anything for you. I play your game.
Okay, to be fair, it's not just pop culture that's setting us up. It's our brain chemicals, too. That roller coaster fueled by dopamine, serotonin, and butterflies, it feels so good. And that's why it can be really hard to suss out codependency early on in a relationship. A few therapists told me they don't even bother to look for codependency in the first year or so of a relationship because it looks like the initial stages of falling in love, of wanting to merge with another person. Sean Byrne, a psychologist in California, says in a healthy relationship, the goal is interdependence rather than codependence. Think of it like a Venn diagram, two circles with a bit of overlap. That's good. You want there to be mutual caretaking and sharing within the relationship. But there's also a significant part of each circle that's independent, meaning the partners still have their own lives, their unique interests, relationships, and activities.
There's autonomy yet connectedness.
Put another way, healthy love should make each person's life bigger. But in a codependent relationship, lives can shrink down to just what's shared in the relationship. Partners become highly enmeshed, even though at first they were likely attracted to each other's individuality.
Oh, I love the way that person does this and their hobbies that they have and the beliefs and values that they have.
That's Chloe Cook, a couples therapist in Atlanta. Chloe says over time,
you stop doing the things that you did when you were single. We start depending on the other person to build our self-esteem.
So what can you do if you think you're codependent? Well, first, know that it's common. It probably exists to varying degrees in every relationship. And maybe don't obsess over the label. Here's Keisha Sullivan, a therapist in Florida.
For me personally, I don't like that term because what happens is when you label me, that defines me, and then I over-identify with it and I can't see my way out of it.
For Keisha, getting over codependency is all about getting over our automatic programming. She says codependency happens like an instinct. That's why people who've struggled with it for a long time find themselves in the same cycles again and again. To fight it, you have to make it conscious.
That will always be enacted until a different way is learned and there's a recognition of what's gone on for you.
So the next step is readiness to change, which Keisha acknowledges can be hard. Try journaling. Fortify yourself by writing down how codependency interferes with your goals or your health. Because codependent people often suppress their emotions, it can also be helpful to make a practice of noticing your feelings. Here's Misty Hook, a therapist in Texas.
Stop at various times during the day and just check in. How am I feeling? Am I anxious? Am I happy? Am I mad?
Next time someone asks you what you want for dinner, if you have a habit of automatically saying, I don't care, what do you want? Stop and check in with yourself. What do you actually want? And try naming it. Or set aside 15 minutes a day to spontaneously do something you want to do. Get ice cream, sit outside, dance to some music. Of course, one word kept coming up again and again. Boundaries. Boundaries can be tricky. Here's Dedeker Winston, relationship coach and co-host of the Polyamory podcast, which explores all types of romantic relationships.
A boundary is something that you yourself put in place for yourself and by yourself to protect yourself in a situation. And now you'll notice I repeated the word self a whole lot because I think that's the most important part with boundaries is that this is about essentially rules or limits you have put on your own behavior that protect you.
That means you don't just say your boundary and rely on the other person to change their behavior. It's on you to enforce it. Darlene Lancer, author of Codependency for Dummies, says knowing your feelings and boundaries leads to more intimate communication between partners. When you're talking, try to be vulnerable. And when you're listening, try to be curious.
And that's what keeps relationships alive. The aliveness comes from the authenticity.
To be authentic with others, you first have to be authentic with yourself. You have to know yourself, value yourself, and express yourself. And know that you'll be okay, because you have what you need.
When you please and you try to adapt, this gap between your real self and who you want to present to the world grows wider and wider. It's almost like, imagine Pinocchio growing a nose every time he lies, okay? And when you do the opposite, when you're authentic, even when it's uncomfortable, you grow your real self. It ignites all your inner power. Your soul is very powerful, but it needs to be expressed and come into the world and not be hiding.
That story was reported by Steph Yen.